This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here it comes. And a drive to left.
Len Casper.
That's Len.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, baby.
TV voice of the Cubs.
Hey, one other question about Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Does he still qualify for the Wookiee of the Year?
Slightly above average bassist.
Len Casper playing the guitar, really into it.
Len Casper.
That's Len.
With Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Len Casper's on Twitter, at Len Casper, and he now is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Len, how are you?
I'm doing great, and just wanted to compliment you both on a terrific Nicholas Castellanos interview yesterday. I had a hard time getting out of my car to go into Starbucks. That was good. Really good stuff. I enjoyed it. He's a fascinating guy. You don't get any fluff. He gives it to you straight. And, I'm a fan.
Nick did a lot of the work, a lot of the heavy lifting in that interview. He mentioned, too, Len, as I'm sure you heard, that he's not a video guy. He just wants to know how hard somebody's throwing and what their out pitch is. And I wondered, as a guy who's been around for a while and gets the new stuff, how many guys like that would you guess average on a major league roster?
There are more than you think.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, I think probably every team has a handful. Fewer than at any time, I think, in the history of the game. But I do think a lot of guys like to keep it simple. I think Brandon Kinsler is that way as a pitcher. He I'm sure, takes in information that he's given, but you know, he kind of knows what he does and how to get people out, and he's a sinker ball guy, so you're not going to really change a whole lot. And I think there are some benefits to uncluttering your mind, and some guys are better able to take in a lot of information and not let it affect you than others.
We heard in the open you say Grand Slam time. You've said that a lot this year. According to statistician Chris Kamka from NBC Sports Chicago, the Cubs have 8 Grand Slams this season, and the 8 by 8 different players is a franchise record. They've never had this many in the long and glorious history of the Cubs. They've never had this many Grand Slams hit by this many players.
That's
kind of cool.
It is, and they're probably, at the end of the year, will say the Cubs have never hit more home runs.
Well, yeah, it's the ball, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the Yankees, how many did they hit in Baltimore? 32?
95.
Yeah, it's outrageous. And are we getting to a point where at what point do we really not like it? That's my question. I don't know if we're there yet.
I'm not there
yet. We like it when our team hits a home run, but when you see the Yankees have 50 home runs against the Orioles and whatever it is, you know, 15 games.
Unbelievable.
I mean, come on.
That's unbelievable. They do say, though, I read in USA Today, Alan Nathan and the group of physicists that were tasked by MLB to figure this out, they're not saying what it is, but they think they know. They think they know exactly what is causing the drag coefficient to have dropped, whether it's the seams or whether it's the ball. They were given unfettered marching orders, said, do what you want, go wherever you have to go, look at all the materials, go to the factories, and I guess they are saying that they know what's going on. Now it's a question of whether or not they want to act on that information. But we don't know.
Right.
They're not going to let us know.
Right, because this year could end up being an enormous outlier, and we get back to somewhat normalcy next year, or they say, you know what, we're okay with this. I don't know which direction they would go, to be honest.
Before we get to bigger and better things, while I'm looking at the stuff that Chris Kamka tweeted yesterday, he's got a list here now that they've added another one, Cubs catchers under Joe Maddon. How many can you name?
Wow. How many are there, by the way?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and now 15.
Oh, my. I could probably name most of them.
I bet
but
you could.
It would probably take longer than we have today.
Yeah, this would take me a while, too, but I'm going to give you this list. Wellington Castillo, Taylor Teagarden.
That's the one.
David Ross, Kyle Schwarber, Tim Fedorkiewicz, how does he pronounce it?
Yep.
That's right. Wilson Contreras, Rene Rivera, Miguel Montero, Alex Avila, Chris Jimenez, yep. Taylor Davis, Victor Caratini, Martin Maldonado, and now Jonathan Lucroy. What do you think they have in that latest name?
I don't know. It's a good question. I think he's 33. He has a nice approach at the plate. He's very quiet behind the plate, has always been known as a good framer, and just brings that veteran presence. But I got to be honest, the way Victor Caratini's playing right now, I'm not sure that it's, you know, Lucroy and then Caratini. It might be a combination of the two, and it may be that Caratini plays more often than Lucroy does. I like the idea of a veteran guy coming in here with Contreras being out until likely into September, so then you're not worried about having three catchers on the roster. But I've been really impressed by Victor's improved power, whether it's due to the ball or whatever. He's hitting the ball with a lot more authority this year, and I think he's made really good strides behind the plate.
Len Casper is brought to you by Sharp Vision at Modern LASIK. Believing is seeing. Schedule your free consultation today. Yeah, Len, I'm with you. Victor Caratini is, or maybe a better way to put it, Jonathan Lucroy is the guy that makes sure Victor Caratini doesn't run out of gas while the Cubs wait for Wilson Contreras to come back. I mean, I know Cubs fans know the name Jonathan Lucroy. He had played really well with the Brewers before getting traded, but he's just not the same guy.
Yeah, well, you know, guys at that position, as they get older, it's a lot tougher to play a lot,
yep.
and to be as productive. But I don't think you can have enough guys like him on your roster. And I'm kind of with you with what you said to Castellanos yesterday, Dan. I thought he would be a nice addition, but I didn't anticipate him being quite as important as you said that word. Mm-hmm. He right now, and it's only been a week, he's been one of the Cubs' best offensive players, and it's a lineup that looks a lot different with him in it. Obviously, Bryant, you know, he's had four hits the last 2 days, but he's gone through a little bit of a slump here. This lineup with Hayward, Castellanos, and Bryant, and Rizzo, and Baez, I mean, to have Baez hit fifth in this batting order, I think just lengthens everything, and he's really made an impact.
How long a look is Ian Happ going to get, or should he get, at second base?
Hey, Joe said big boy time the other day, and you hit, you play. So Joe will get him in the lineup, and second base is the spot where Bodie and Kemp and some others have been this year. Descalzo, when he was healthy, I think Ian will get a look at second base. He can move to the outfield late in games. I think he's going to absolutely get an opportunity to play more often. And I look at this weekend series as maybe more important than some people do. You know, the Reds are kind of lurking down near the bottom of the division, but they're playing pretty good ball right now. And you look at this rotation this weekend, Alex Wood tonight, Trevor Bauer tomorrow, Luis Castillo on Sunday, and then the All-Star Sonny Gray on Saturday. So this is a pretty formidable matchup for the Cubs offense. And by the way, guys, I'm going to try to get Bauer for my pregame show this weekend. So if you have anything specific you'd like me to ask Trevor Bauer.
Only everything.
The most interesting man in baseball right now.
I wonder if he's going to do the thing where, you know, you ask the one question and then Bauer just takes off. Or if, I guess it depends on what kind of mood Bauer is in, right?
Right, right. Well, I'm going to ask him about the book. I think the place I will start is the buy-in he had with Ben Lindbergh and Travis Sochik, in terms of he ends up being the fulcrum of the book. And I think if they don't get Trevor Bauer to open up as much as he did, the book MVP machine is not nearly as great as it is.
It's his dad. His dad bought the Edgertronic. You know, the involvement of his father in saying, look, I'm going to find this high-speed camera, and we're going to buy it, and we're going to use it, and they showed it to Driveline. You know, the way it connects is without him, none of this happens.
Yeah, he, whatever the word is, he's a disruptor. He's an innovator. You know, he's an industry kind of, you know, whoa, who's this guy? And the one thing about Trevor Bauer that I like is that whenever you ask anyone in the game about Bauer, you get a very distinctive answer. You never get a, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's either, oh, he's a really fascinating, or you get the negative. You know, oh, man, I hear he's really difficult to work with. And I think all of those things are true.
So, Len, we woke up this morning and Anthony Rizzo turned 30. We're going to wake up tomorrow morning and Jason Hayward's going to be 30. On which morning are you going to say, you know, more loudly, holy crap, I can't believe this guy's 30?
Well, both, because I saw Hayward's major league debut when he hit the home run off Zambrano, and it feels like it was just yesterday. And then I remember seeing a 21-year-old kid get traded from San Diego. I guess Rizzo, just because I've been around him more, it's just amazing how time flies. But in both cases, they're so mature that turning 30 doesn't feel like a big deal to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're very mature baseball players, I think, in terms of their years. They've been ahead of their time, and I've always felt like just real solid guys. Turning 30, no big deal. And I'm 48, so 30 feels like nothing to me.
Did you see who turned 28 yesterday? That would be Mike Trout. And I did a little math yesterday using the list of Baseball References wins above replacement. Nobody threw, and this is technically considered his age 27 season, because that's defined by your age on June 30th. So even though he's 28, this is his age 27 season. No player ever has gotten to 71.7 wins at this point in the age 27 season. He's been averaging 9.1 wins per year. He's ahead of that pace now. He's at like a 10.7 pace right now. So, Len, if we tack on three sort of representative seasons after next year's, it's a total of four. That puts him through age 30 at 102.2. That's already past Yastrzemski, Ripken, and Fox. And if then we cut it off and say the next 3 years he drops off to a six-win player, he is then 11th on the list at age 33, ahead of A-Rod, Gehrig, Ricky Henderson, and Mantle, and sitting just behind Ted Williams with plenty of viable career to go.
Look, people don't like to hear it because it's baseball, and I think the Wayback Machine matters a lot more than other sports. Athleticism maybe comes to pass a little more in the other sports, hockey, football, basketball, so we are more willing to say that guys we are watching in our current era are as good, if not better, than players in previous eras. But we are witnessing, and look, impact on society, all of that stuff matters. I'm discarding all of that. I'm talking about pure ability and production. Mike Trout and Clayton Kershaw, you could make a very good argument, are the two best players in the history of the game.
Yeah, that's Trout, Joe Sheehan said it. Joe Sheehan said Mike Trout's the best baseball player to ever walk the face of the earth.
And Clayton Kershaw, as a pitcher, is arguably in the top two or three of pitchers all time. Now, we go back to innings and wins and all that, it's a different time. But, you know, I don't know if we truly appreciate how great those guys are. And in the case of Trout, when the commissioner kind of nudged him for not marketing himself, I thought that was the wrong thing to do. I think Mike Trout is as genuine as anybody. He's quiet. He's respectful. Let him be that guy. And I know he plays in Anaheim. They haven't been very good. It's a West Coast team. But make sure you go out of your way to watch him play when you can, because once he retires, and hopefully it's not for another 12 or 13 years, we will say, and I think it'll be a majority of baseball fans, we just watched the greatest player who ever lived.
Len, I'm telling you, that's why I put them both in the Hall of Fame right now.
Stop
Let them play
it.
The rest of their career with Hall of Fame on the scoreboard when they come to bat.
Stop it. That's
I'm just saying.
So you would put them in right now?
Sure.
You'd waive the 5-year rule?
Why not? Absolutely.
He's got this whole active Hall of Fame thing, when my point is we know it when we see it.
Put them in.
We also can read a stat sheet.
Put them in.
We know.
Some people can't. Put them in.
Len, thank you. Enjoy the road trip.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.